Entonces, sacred and inspired word of God. I have some conception as to what that portion of this psalm at least means to me. But I don't always feel to convey my thoughts on to others. And I'm dependent upon the Holy Ghost to direct my mind and to give me an open door and utterance of speech. I said on yesterday that my early reading of the scriptures back in my teens, I read them for the purpose of arguing with people, trying to prove my points of doctrine. In my early years, I do not do that. I read the scriptures now because I'm seeking witness. I'm looking for some words that will bear testimony to my experience. And when I find such words in the scriptures that bears testimony to my experience, it gives me evidence, or some evidence, that I'm on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus said, Paul said to the Corinthian brethren, that they were built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And he says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fit to frame together and groweth up into the holy temple of the Lord. And that concerns me much to know if I'm built on this foundation. You'd like to know whether or not you're on this foundation. And that's what the gospel is for, is to bring out and tell you what the experience of the prophet and prophets is. And if your experience corroborates with the prophet and the prophets, then it's an evidence you are on the foundation. And let's see how your experience will make up with yours. He says, "Behold, I'm glad." Do you feel that? If you feel that in your heart, you're evidence you're on the foundation. When the light of God's Spirit shines in the heart of a person, it doesn't show you how good you are, it shows you how bad you are. That's the work of the Spirit of God. You see the perfection in your brethren, but you see the imperfection in yourself. And that's what keeps you down a little. You can't ever feel like you measure up to that of your brothers and sisters. And another evidence is this. Can you witness with the apostle when he said it's a faithful saying, it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief? I'd like to say this to you. I'd like to be perfectly frank and honest with you, text that I felt to be a sinner when I was a boy. And when I grew up, and I might say that I stood in this sacred place here for 22 years of my life before God showed me that I was a chief. I visited you, Brother Breedlove, a number of times when I didn't think to be the chief of sons. But I had visited you when God showed me that I was the greatest son that I've ever seen. In fact, I've never seen such a son as he should be that I was. I was naked before. All except a black band that was going across my abdomen here. And all the way through the low border of that there, the tip of my toes, the skin was off my face. And all the upper border, as high as I could see, the skin was off of me. And the little worm beat my flesh like you see the maggots in the dead carcass. And that was in 1947. I've never seen such a sinner in my life. And I learned some truth about scripture that I didn't ever understand before. I believe you've got to be brought through the experience of these scriptures to understand what the apostle meant. I couldn't understand what he meant when he said he was the chief of Pharaoh, but when God showed me that I was nothing but sin, and I thought before that time it was because of my sin and transgression that called me to be a sinner. But it's not that way, my friend. I'll tell you, it's what you are and not what you do. You see what I'm talking about? It's what you are. What else? You're nothing but sin to start with. Why? Because of the fact that you are the whole thing of Adam. And he said, Moses said, by the need of disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for in that all have sinned. So then he said this, and this is something that I couldn't understand back then, but I just understand that. Paul says, judgment is passed upon all men to condemnation. And that means this, except by the intervening grace of God, for reputation. And you may feel that too in your heart, to know that if it weren't for that intervening grace of God, where would you be? You go the way of all there, grace makes the difference between the godly and the ungodly. And to pursue this on a little further, that you may have some evidence you want the foundation, I'll ask you some more questions. That is, do you feel to be the little, the least one in God's kingdom, that one at all? If so, you feel like Gideon said that time. When God called Gideon out to fight the Midianites, Gideon said, Holy says, my family is poorer than Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. How do you feel about that? Do you feel you understand that you're with and you're breathing, or you feel the delay? I receive letters every week, people who are renewing for the landmark, and they usually wind up saying the least of all, they want it all. They feel that. And I like to hear that. I'm the least one. Then he said that I'm the and he said Gideon said back young that he said, my family is poor in Manasseh. Let me ask you this morning, this question. Are you dwelling with the poor people? I'm not talking about people so far as dollars and cents are concerned. I'm talking about people that are poor in spirit. Are you dwelling with that class of people today? If you are, you're dwelling with the people that are bound. Prophet said of back yonder. When the Lord said, I will also leave in the midst of thee, that is in the midst of Israel. I'll leave in the midst of them and afflicted and poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And as that afflicted and that poor people today are the ones that trust in the name of the Lord. And then he said, I am the least in my father's house. He was the least among all those, you understand, that was in the house. And that corroborates your understanding with the language Paul said. Now you go on the foundation of the apostle and the prophet. And so then we turn over and see what the apostle Paul said about it. In his case, he said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, he said, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of the Gentiles. I might ask you this question. If you take a tree standing up there, how do you make that tree legs? You do it by cutting it down and taking the slabs off of it and putting it, running it through the saw and get your plank up. And then if you want to get it, make it less, you run it through the planing machine. And if you want to still get a better job, you have to carry it through the sanding machine. And I think about that's just the way it is with God's plan. That you're just standing up there and in the forest, like these cedars of Lebanon way back yonder. But I'm going to say that they were cut down and they were hewn out. All dressed out if you please, and when they were dressed out, I made them left. And then not only left, but you take a field of plant, and when you carry it down through the saw, it's got a roughness to it. And what do? You bring it through the planing machine. And then when you bring it through the planing machine, and then it comes through the sanding machine, and every process it goes through with, it makes it. And I'll tell you that every problem, every trouble, and every cross that you have in this world, it makes you less all the time. And you get less and less. And John said, I was decreased, but he was increased. Is that right? I'm getting less. Oh, you would think, brother, but he was married. You were back down years ago. Why, nothing like it. You get less all the time. Why? As he called the fact that God is doing on you, that's why. And so he dresses you down. And that's when John said, back yonder, he said, I was decreased, he said, but he was increased. Are you on the decrease? Brother Ray, boy, you're getting bigger. You're on the decrease. You're getting less and less all the time. I must decrease. He must increase. Well, how little somebody say, do you get? I'll tell you how little Paul get. He got less than the least of all things. That's how little he was. And that's what these children of God are brought to today. They're brought down to the priest to be less than the least of all things. Well, while I'm talking about this, I want to bring another experience. Because that's my adventure. If I'm what I profess to be, I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am to convey his message, you understand? Not a message of my own, but of his, you understand? A message of my ambassador. He hasn't got a right, you understand, to take his own message to the foreign country. He must carry the message that was given to him from the government where he went and left from. And nothing more and nothing less. And I would say that's what a servant will love. That's what he has to do. That he's obligated to do when he comes before these children of God. And that's what makes it so fearful, you understand, because of the fact. You're afraid, you understand, you won't be able to preach on the experience here, according to the experience of the child of God. And I think sometimes that's what David said, serve the Lord with fear. He said, and rejoice with trembling, he said. And I'll say that the religion has nothing trembling about it. There's something wrong about it, for that concern. Paul said, I come to you with much weakness, he said, and much fear, and much trembling. And I hold the trembling in this. Why? It's a trembling in the soul of God's people there, because they're standing between, as a mediator, they're standing between God and his people there. Ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver a message. But I want to bring this message to you and ask you if this is your experience. And if so, this is another experience that you're on the foundation. I want to say, do you feel worth it today? All the blessings of God. And you look back on your past life and see how it's been good to you and brought you through harms and dangers both seen and unseen up until this good hour. And I say, do you often think to yourself how worthy or unworthy I do feel of this? I'm not worthy of it. But that's the experience of God's people. You take Jacob and Esau back down. As far as I know, Jacob, well, Esau was just as good a man as Jacob was. Like speaking from the scripture standpoint, yeah, it looked to me like he was a better man of anything, because he didn't do the many things Jacob did. But I will say this for what God said about him. He said, Jacob, how I love, and Esau, how I hate. And he pronounced his sentence upon them before they ever gone into the world. He said that you have not yet been born. You haven't done any good or evil at the time of God, my friend. According to the election, he said, I want to preach the election, because I believe in the election, he said. According to the election, he said, Jacob, how I love, and Esau, how I hate. He didn't love Jacob because of anything good he ever did. He didn't hate Esau because of anything bad he ever did. I'll tell you what the difference is. He loved Jacob because he was in the covenant of that kind, of which is often all things sure, and that's right. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ loves the people today. It's because he was in the covenant. You were given to the throne of the Father before the world again. He said, Father, I'm the way. Thou gavest to me, and all the Father given me shall come to me, and I shall lose nothing but praise him up until that day. There's one thing I'm settled on, and I'll tell you what it is. I'm settled on the fact that I believe that every person that God, you understand, gives to the Son before the world again, I believe every person how in heaven the mortal good. I don't even doubt that in my mind. I won't tell you where the difficulty is. The question with me is this, am I one of that now? That's what it's for. And that's what preaching the gospel for. It's not to make sheep. The preaching of the gospel is not there. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep and feed my lamb. And that's the purpose of the gospel today, is to feed the sheep and feed the lamb. And so then we read over here, where it was here, see over here, where Jacob here, as I said, he didn't feel worthy of the blessings of God. God delivered Jacob back on the full job. And I'll say, hasn't God delivered you many times? And shielded you from harm and dangers many times, both seen and unseen in your life. And he delivered Jacob out there. He and the enemy were coming in the rear. His enemies were meeting in the front. And Jacob comes to the standstill place and that poor Jacob. And that poor he can break the foot. Put on and complete that of God. And I want to say he wrestled with an angel until the break of day. And the angel put him in the heart of the fire. And it's a new strength. And he went to the temple. Other gods in the Jesus. And let me tell you, my friend, that if God has spit you and brought you down and called you to lean upon the name of faith and take power of the sight of you once dead, I'm going to say you are a favor. And you're wonderfully blessed. Is that right? It's a great blessing to be brought to that place. To know that you can't travel in no strength. Go in the strength of Israel's God. And he had to go leaning upon his staff. And he went about his feet. And I want to say that staff to me represents the staff of faith that God's people have to lean upon today. You have to lean upon Jesus, you understand? He's the way, the truth, and the life to lean upon him. And what did Jacob say? When he spoiled him in the hollow of the fire, he's in his friend. I can see him in my mind's eye how he did. He looked like a wish past life. He couldn't see one good thing that he ever did to merit a favor from God, and neither can you. And what did he say? He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and the thy truth. He said, which thou hast shown unto thy servant. And I want to say today, if you don't feel worthy, you're on the foundation of the apostle and the prophets. Yes. And I'll tell you something more. And that is, you find this in the experience of John back young. John said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unroof as you are, said the master. And now think about how that your prodigal son, how that he said, a certain man, that he had two sons, and he was the young one. I said to his father, how to give me the portion of goods, how to fall to me, and he divided unto them his living, and how many of these I was the young one. He did it all together, and he took the journey into a far country, and I wasted the servant in the arms of living, and I was honest. And then when he wasted everything he had, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the citizen sent him to feed swine. And he said, if anyone would have filled his belly with the husks, the swine had eaten, nobody gave him to him. Then he came to himself. Do you know when you came to yourself? And I will ask you if you want a long ways from home when you found out what your condition was. I'll say this, he might have been 1,000 miles from home, as far as I know, but I know what far that is. I was in my living room at home when I found that you understand I was a long ways from home. Long ways from home, you understand this man were. He said, I was right, and I was my father. He would give a faith to understand how to say my father's house, his father's a friend there, and his prayer. And so the father now, he sees him coming, and when he sees him coming, he said to the father, he said, I'm not worthy. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of my message, and I'm not worthy of to be called a son. And that's your feeling today. You don't feel worthy today of to be called a son of God. You feel unworthy. And not only that, but every church member that joins United with the church, I'm telling you, you'll feel unworthy. You'll feel so unworthy of this great fellowship to understand that there's a shrinking but I can't tell you about the experience of other people. I don't tell you on mine. And I know there's been times in me in my life when I hop into the meeting and I felt so unworthy, so insignificant. I thought if I could just get on the back seat or behind the door, under the house somewhere here, this place would be a bit too great for me. Wonderful, I felt so unworthy. How could that you all come in this morning? I have felt so unworthy to see you great people coming in here from Georgia to visit us. I've just been a fellow unworthy of all of this. It makes you feel unworthy, understand? What he said, I'm not worthy, he said, to be called a son. And I'll make this one of the high servant. But let me tell you, his father said, I do this servant. And he said, servants, if you please. He said, bring the best robe and put it on him. And let me tell you, that best robe is the robe of righteousness and the garment of salvation. And when you see a person today that's clothed with the spirit of humility, right then you see the robe of righteousness and the garment of salvation. Very best to you. Nothing better than that. So then he said, you were not worthy. Because the father said, he said, put a ring on his hand. I do believe that ring represents the endless love of God. He said, yeah, I love thee with everlasting love and loving kindness that thou hast drawn thee. Not only do that, but he said, put shoes on his feet. And these shoes, yeah, here they are shot for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, and my peace I leave with you. And he said, this peace is not like the world peace that the world gives. The world's trying to give peace today. I don't reckon I ought to sing this, but I was singing yesterday that I know some things that a lot of people don't know, and some things that a lot of you all do know. And I'm going to tell you what it is, so you won't be mistaken about what I'm thinking about. We are living in a world which we call a tumult today. But let me tell you, God has not disturbed about anyone. Not one little. Nothing but disturbed him. And he focused this whole earth one time before me, and I saw it not more in a larger, I might say, than as a map on the side of this church building here. And now I didn't see it, you understand, as small as it is. But he said this, all nations, this was the top of the bucket. Didn't he say that? He said, and we are counted as the small dust of the bucket. So you can take a thousand and you can just brush off all the dust and get off of it, and what's left out there, that's compared to what all the people on this world is to him. And so there, can't you see then, he holds the wind in the hollow of his fist. And I would say that God is controlling that. And I tell you what gives me consolation and satisfaction when I can lie down at night. I want to say that my God, the one I believe in and trust in, he's at that. He's at that. Where's all things that the counsel of his own will? And therefore, he said it was an unction hand, and he handed you to stand on the new. And therefore, I'll be one of those right of men that he does according to his will in the arm of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. No one can say, the only way to us that. And I think sometimes, why should I be complaining about what's going on? Well, I'll tell you why I do complain, it's because I'm in the flesh. And I'll tell you why when I don't complain is when I hope I'm in the spirit. Because I believe if you're in the spirit, you're reconciled to God's will and everything's moving along according to his eternal purpose. But in the flesh is where we have trouble, you understand? We're not satisfied with things as they are. That makes a difference, you understand? We are imperfect in our flesh. We are perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. A man made a statement to the landmark some time ago. I don't know that I ever thought about it that way, but I accepted it. That was Elder Bodenheimer, the first man, the first person again to begin to publish it on the landmark. He said that I wish my outward life was more consistent, he said, with good behavior. But he said, my faith in Jesus Christ is perfect. It's perfect. You know why so? Because John said, whoso was born of God, he does not commit sin. Well, he said, he sinned from anything, and then he cannot sin because he's born of God. So your life in Jesus Christ is perfect today. You can't commit sin, you understand? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And then I want to say that in the flesh you can't do nothing but sin. Now because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, my Lord, I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now let them see. Now back here. And when he said that you will on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and so then of this prodigal son, I said I'm the more worthy to be called the son. Make him one of the high servants. And that for when his father saw him coming, he said, bring the best robe and put it on him and put shoes on his feet. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf for him. And I'll be that fatted calf is a member of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be called Jesus now. He must be crucified. And when he rose from the dead, then it is that all people that are crucified and with the Lord Jesus Christ, they can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and they can drink his blood. Remember the certain one that let Father go on. And Jesus said, whoso eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood, he has everlasting life. And they said, this is a hard thing. Who can hear the bread? And Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they went back and followed no more. But there's a little few that followed along. You see what I mean? And that little few, they followed along, you understand? And Jesus said to them, will you also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For we know him, sure, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, with Jonah, for flesh and blood, not to be this unto me. But my Father is in heaven. If you can't go along with people who believe in the salvation by the grace of God, those who are telling the power of God through faith and salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to know, have you got anywhere to go? I haven't got anywhere to go. I don't know where to go, dear. I wouldn't know where to, I wouldn't even know where to start, you understand? To be along with the people, you understand, that believe in salvation by the grace of God. Now, we got people that believe in salvation by the grace of God, but they don't believe you're kept by the power of God. I didn't believe that. I'll say this. I believe back yonder. I think it's all right. Let me tell you what I believe. I've been broke down until I say so now and until 1947. I believe that you, I believe you're saved by the grace of God. But you know what I believe? And I taught it to you. I said that when you're born of the Spirit of God, you'll put on your own. You can do good and get blessing from God, and do wrong and get cursing from God. And I'll be going, let me. I won't tell you today, I don't believe that. I don't believe that today. No. I could see this, and I, God showed me that for that, and people are not capacitated to perform even one good service in God's kingdom. Even one. I have no righteousness, you understand, of my own faith, all the righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could see that, and I could understand how Holy Father meant. How what he said, through him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, he made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, and made him to sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made. And the righteousness of God, and Paul said he was delivered for our sins. He was raised for our justification. So he said, of him, and to him, and through him is all things. You know, when he said all things, that embraces everything. And that just leaves the man out. Man don't like it. He doesn't like to be left out, but he's not. He's never been here. There's no way he's here. He's passive in regeneration, and let me say something more. He's passive in obedience. I wouldn't tell you that I haven't done an obedience. I have. But I want to tell you that the obedience that I have is to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes me willing in the day of his power. God made me willing to stand before you people. I would have done it if he hadn't made me willing. He made me willing to come before this people here. And I would. I said, I'd die before I would have come before this people. And I wouldn't qualify. I'd stand in this place. But let me tell you, my friend, when God brings you down, I was that word, you have to go. He believed, you understand. And so then, I made the first attempt 41 years ago. And it was a case of life and death for me. I had to go. I said that I'm not a volunteer. In fact, I don't believe in volunteers, nobody. I don't believe in any volunteers. I don't believe that I'm even in the volunteers that are accepted in God's kingdom. I remember that there was a reading in the scripture here where it said this one man said, I'll follow thee. He said, well, he was anxious to go. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, the birds in the air have nests and the fox in have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another man, he said, follow me. He said, first suffer me to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury that dead. And people sometimes ask me the question, what did he mean by saying that the dead bury that dead? I tell you what it meant. The command of Jesus is to follow him. Let the dead bury that dead. And let the dead, and I'll tell you who the dead are. It's these that are dead and trespassing in sin. They can bury the dead. You understand how they can do that? Let the dead bury that dead. Fall on me, see. And so then, there are volunteers in this kingdom of God. They're all conscripted and brought in. And so then, these are children of God. They have an experience here. And they eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And they drink his blood. And Jesus said, whoso eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, he has everlasting life. And you may believe this word. And I will eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And I will drink his blood. Son of Man, have I ever drank his blood? And let me tell you how he said. Have you ever had any sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he visited you personally in here? Did he give you a sweet hope in him? Have you then found a witness in the scriptures to your experience to understand? And that sweet communion, you understand, and you could commune with the apostles and the prophets back in the old times and that? Have you ever sat into the assembly of the saints as we are sitting together here this morning in this place? Have you ever feasted upon the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation that brings glad tidings to the children of God? Have you had that? I want to say then, if you are, you'll be right then eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood. So eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Jesus said he has everlasting life. I'm a long ways from the subject that I thought I would say something about. Looks like. I'll say a few words about that in close. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, and I shall not want. Experimental religion is the true religion. Have you ever seen a time in your life, and have you ever had a few moments of praise in you? Have you ever had a few moments of joy in your soul? Have you ever felt the presence of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your soul? And that you could say, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Have you ever felt that lifting up, you understand? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Have you ever been carried to that place you just didn't want anything? You just happy that everything's like it is? And you had that sweet communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and you wouldn't wish for anything more? You ever had a little experience of that kind? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He said, and I'll tell you, there's a time back in a while, a number of times, you know, I've often wanted something. But I'll tell you, I had an experience one time, and I was brought to a place I didn't want a thing in this world. Not even concerned about a thing in this world. And that was back out in 1948. I was so completely understand the eclipse. I might say, take down the things of this world. And I woke up one morning. I tell this because it's in my spirit. I woke up one morning and I was filled with the greatest love that I've ever felt in my life. It's not anything different from what I've had before, but it's a greater measure of it. And I was just lying on my bed and I was just bathed in tears, you understand? And the tears that I read people through our cry sometimes, that we call it trouble. But then I tell you, you'll shed tears of joy too, as well as you will of trouble. And I was lying on the bed and I was shedding tears of joy. And my wife came to the bed where I was, and I laid my arms around her. And I said, Mother, I'm in faith. I've really done it wrong. Everything was done to me. And I couldn't. I felt that I didn't want a thing in this world. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want it. I didn't want one thing in the world. Now I'm going to do this. Of what John said, I love not the world, not the things of the world, and because other people now, are they love the world, and because they are the world. And let me tell you, and when God, when he lifts you out of this world, and takes your mind off of the heaven, out of the things of this world, and sets you for affection up from heaven and divine things, you're not concerned about a thing in the world. And I had that experience, and I was lifted out of this world, and I stayed out of it for 6 weeks of my life, I'm talking about. And I wasn't concerned about a thing in this world for 6 weeks of my life. And during that time, I tell this because it's in my experience. I'll show you that I wasn't concerned about the world or the things of the world. And I remember a man came to my house and he said to me, Mr. Allen, he said, I'm selling an oil burner. It's an improved one. He said, if I could sell you one, it would mean many sales here for me in this community. And it sounded so foolish to me. I was lying on my divan and I said, friend, well, I said, I'm heaven. I said, I don't need oil burner. And it sounded so foolish to him. But I was in one place and he was another. You see what I mean? When you lift it up in the spirit, you're just not in the flesh. And when you're in the flesh, you're not in the spirit. You see what I mean? And he was in one place, I was in another. I mean, I didn't think that I'd ever need an oil burner. But I wouldn't leave here guessing at that today. I've need some oil burner since then. Because I'll tell you, I've been that time over that time. David said, you understand, well, he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not walk. But let me tell you, my friend, that is an experience that you have here. And when you lift it up there, you don't want to leave this world. You don't have to let everything go like it is. But the days of adversity said, I shall be set over against the days of prosperity, so that man shall find nothing after. What is, you know, it's dangerous to be sitting away up down the high and say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not walk. That's a risky place to be up high like that, you know that? Fellow get up that high, you understand, he gets to be proud. And he'll get the rest of the while thinking, you understand, well, he did something. And that was Paul's experience. Paul down back yonder, he said, lest he should be carried away with the abundance of revelations, he said there was a foot of a little thorn given him in the fresh air to bite him, lest he should be exalted above the maidens. But let me tell you, that soft thorn in the grass is the best you'll see, you understand. That above you, lest you should be exalted above measure. And I want to say, David had all of this experience too. He didn't step on this pinnacle all the time. Because the time came when David back out when he was low down. I like his death, and all the time too. When Jesus ever did. Now David said, Lord, I thought we can go forever. And not without the gracious, and without the favor no more. You just feel like sometimes you've had that lifting up, and you feel like you never will come back anymore. You ever feel that way? You feel like you never will have another sweet visit from him. It's just so, business is so far apart. And I'll tell you something more. I believe it's an experience of God's people. I believe these little visits that the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have with him, I believe they're closer to heart, closer together back on in your first deliverance. And I believe the older you get, the farther apart they get, you understand. And they just kept getting spread farther and farther and farther apart. And you remember, John said that the angel gave him a reed, he said, like unto a rock. And he said, measure the temple, and measure the altar, and measure them that worship therein. I was going to tell somebody to go out and measure a temple, I wouldn't think about giving them a reed to measure the temple with, would you? I wouldn't think about that. I'd say, take a tape line, a rule, a square, something like that to measure a temple with. But he said that I'd give him a rough reed, and it was like a rod, and measure the temple and measure the altar and measure them that worship therein. I'll tell you what it is. There's a similarity of the reed is the experience of God's people. I'll tell you what it is. You take a reed, it's bigger at the bottom, and it grows out to the little end of nothing. And that's the way it is in the experience of God's people. You grow out to the little end of nothing. John said, I must decrease, and he must increase. And then not only that, but the joints on the reed, did you notice that the closer we come around the bottom, and as higher up they come, each one, you understand, comes on up, the joints a little farther apart, and a little farther apart, and on up to the reed, the joints get farther apart. And not only that, but every one is small, you understand. And then not only that, but that enclosure there between that joint to me represents the deliverance and the experience of the child of God. And that high enclosure there, I me, is that deliverance that the child of God has. And it's the strongest reason that reading to breathe. And that deliverance that you have, is the strongest reason in your experience. And I have to tell you that you'll go back there from time to time, and you'll go on the past experience that you have. And because David said, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want it. And he said to me, he said it right now. And the green pastures, and let me tell you, my sheep are lying down. They're not grazing, are they? No. I've seen them lying down when they were not grazing. You know what they're doing? They're chewing the cud. That's what they do. And that's what you do. You go back, and you're not grazing. When you're lying down in the pasture, you're chewing the cud. You know, a sheep's got two stomachs. And the food first comes down to the first stomach. And that goes back up, you understand? They built that up, you understand? They rehash that. And then another peculiar characteristic about the sheep is this. Whenever they're rehashing, you understand? Sometimes when they're hungry and they're feeding along, they'll pick up sticks and chips and trash and things of that kind, maybe. But it doesn't go down to the lower stomach. It stops here in this one. And when they come back in the rehashing, did you know that they'll flip that out? And then they'll swallow the grass like that. And that's the way you do it. You hear preaching sometimes, maybe all of it doesn't hold out well, you understand? You get back home the next week, you get studying over, you understand? You say, well, yo, here's a little something here, don't hold out in a second. It's not exactly right. And you flip it out, it's been warm enough to see, you understand? That's the way it is, the characteristic of a sheep. Now, the sheep are back yonder, they're the clean kind, you understand? They divide it the hoof and they chew the cud and everything else. They didn't divide the hoof and they chew the cud. Now, they were unclean, and that fooled the hog. I was in unclean feet. He divided the hoof, but he didn't chew the cud. And let me tell you, how the gone people today, how they divided the hoof and they chew the cud. I want to say that dividing of the hoof to me, it represents full grade. Now, that's a child of God. If you've been born with the Spirit of God, you can divide at the hoof, you divide the hoof. There he is now. You know the difference between law and gospel, and you can tell the difference between the works of man and the work of God. Who works in the man? I both the will and the doer, a long good pleasure. And then he divides the two, and he chews the cud. And they chew the cud. I can't tell you about the rest of you, I'm just telling you about my experience. I live principally on my past experiences. I do. These are precious times back yonder, and precious times with these associations that I've had, and these deliverances I've had along through life. I remember them. They're precious to me. See, might have something said about Jacob back yonder. That he came back as he went on down, called a place Bethlehem, and it seemed like he came back to that place, you understand, called Bethlehem. And it was a precious spot in his life. And you know that some things in our experience in our life is precious to us, you understand? And they're Bethel spots. And you go back there, and you live on these things again over and over. I mean, we said in the 50s, yeah, that when the children of Israel had their own, the king of land, behind the big God. It said the first year, they lived on the old corn. And that's what I'm living on the old corn. Living on that old corn. Wonderful experiences that we have in this life. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down, he said. He's lying down, not grazing, he's lying down in the green pasture. And he's lying down in the green pasture, he said. He said, he leaveth me beside the still water. He ain't making a contrast here between his life now and what it was at one time. He was a man of war and fought in the valley. But let me tell you, he said, I knew he was not trying. He said, all thy thoughts and thy ways, all this were over me. with you. And that's the way it is. And this period of the children of God, other time with you. And when the billows of the wave, they belong to you. But now he's been brought to a haven of rest. And he says, now, and here that he leads me beside the still waters. In other words, the contrast between these waters that were the billows and the waves have been rolling back on you. And when you were in trials and trouble and conflicts, and soul searching. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has brought you to that haven of rest. And you've gone brought down to this place in which he said, now, he said, and he leads me beside the still waters. Still waters. You remember that these disciples, they were out on a ship. I remember. And Jesus was in the ship and there came up a storm. And when that storm arose, then it said, the billows were rolling and the waves were coming over. And the water, I was like to fill the ship with water. And it was like to sink. And you remember how they called upon him. And let me tell you how they called the faith if he please. And they called without faith. It's impossible to please God. That was he that cometh to God. He must be that he is. And he's the one of them. How the devil you seek him. And therefore, how they woke him up. How the scripture said. And Jesus said to them, he said, oh, you little faith. I was going to tell you, if you've got a little faith, my friends, it's wonderful because I can't tell you how wonderful it is, but I do know he said this. He said, if you've got the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. Didn't he say that? And say the same more to him, it'll be done. And say to the bottom, be removed, be done. That's just the faith of a grain of mustard seed. So they did have a little faith. And if you've got that little faith, my friends, to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in time of trouble, it's wonderful to have that. It's that little faith that you have in him. So there, and what did Jesus do? When they called him, he answered. He rebuked the wind. And it was a calm, he said. And you remember, he said in the scriptures here, that there was a calm. And what did they say? They said, what manner of word is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. And I want to say, my friends, today, now that he's at the helm today, even the wind and the sea obey him. Everything obeys the Lord Jesus Christ at his command. And so you need the word today about what's going on. And my Father is in heaven here. He controls all things, works all things, as the counsel of his own will. And therefore, David could say here, he leads me beside the still water. And not only that, when he said, he restores my soul. And that restoration of that soul there, meaning that you brought back, understand, to that place where you want to be in. And you remember, now these women back counted, how they invoked the message of Naomi, when Ruth was born, when that Obi was born, Ruth, and what did they say? They said to her, that this little son over here, even our reality, how that his father owned, and all his father possessed, and they said to him, this little son, he's the only heir that God. And Jesus is the only heir of his father, and that little son is the only heir that they had, of Ruth, and them, of Ruth and boy. Here's what they said. This little son, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. He shall be a nurser of thine old age. And let me tell you, my friends, today you've got a promise. And as you go down the streets of old age, and many of you going down that way, the streets of old age, you have something to look forward to. And what is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he shall be a restorer of thy life. He shall be a nurser of thine old age. And you have him to look forward to. And I'll say this, the older you get, the further you realize, you go down that journey. As you met me, the more you depend upon him, the more you look to him, the more you look to him for faith, you understand. And that's the way the places you're brought to when you're brought down out of the enemy of wisdom this life. And so then he shall be restored by life. He shall be a nurse of thy old age. And all over that. But he said here, I through the valley of the shadow of death. I will give to evil while I was with me. And let me tell you, these children of God, they can come anywhere when the Lord Jesus Christ is with them. And that's why the Hebrew children, they could go in the fire furnace because Jesus was in that with them. And so then, it said when the come in, the king came and he looked in and he said, they do not cast in free. And the whole thing, oh, who's walking in the fire? And the fourth one, he said, was like unto the Son of God. Son of man, or Son of God. And one other thing I want to say about that. It says, there was not a hair sanctified upon the head, nor a smell of fire from the garments. Now, here's one thing it did before. They were all bound together when they were put in there. And I tell you what the fire did. It went the band over. They could walk, you understand, in the fire. And that's where it is today. You may be bound up today, you understand. And feel me by all kinds. But I want to say this. when you carry through the fire, when you carry through trials, when you carry through troubles and tribulations there. I want to say that burns up all the band off y'all, do you understand? And these children of God, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, they can walk in this fire. They can travel through trials and troubles and tribulations this world. And so then, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to be able to follow up with me. Thy rod and thy staff, as they do comfort me. And let me tell you what, now I either come to the children of God, and let me tell you that father, it'll run with the Lord, like the richest people will. That's because Paul said, and he used that father every day of your life. They can please and to pray his children, and he does it because he loves them, and because Paul said, I just find down an hour by the chastening of the Lord, for free when God rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loved him. He chastened and he scourged everyone that received it. Now he says, what son is he that the father chasteneth not? Now he says, if ye be without chastisement, well, of all particulars, then are ye bastards and not sons. And you know what I said about the lockdown? If a person can go through this way, if he can cheat, if he can defraud, if he can do that which is wrong, and treat his fellow man, which he may do that all the time, you understand? But I'll say this, if he's not a child of God, he won't have any remorse of conscience for it. But on the other hand, if he's a child of God, he'll have a remorse of conscience in here for that. Every time you do wrong, you'll have a remorse of conscience. And I something more than that, I say this, that every idle word you speak, and everything you say every day of your life, you understand, which is unbecoming and out of place, I won't say God will chastise you for it. He said, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Nor a thing from thou the guilt of men. For whom the Lord loveth, the chastened, and his grace is everyone. How they did receive it. And if he be without chastisement, of what our Lord partakers. He said, now ye bastards and not sons. So then the rod and the staff, and that staff, rod is a comfort. Aren't you glad that the Lord will correct you for every wrong that you do? Isn't it a joy to you to know that he loves you that way, that he makes a correction of everything that you do that's wrong? Now that rod and that staff, and that staff today is that staff of faith. It represents the faith of God's children as they look and call upon him and lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That rod and that staff to comfort me. And David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And sometime right in the midst of all the enemies that you can have, he said, a man full of enemies is the Lord of his own household. And sometimes you understand when you're just full of enemies, all you get, and the Lord can just sweep them all out, you understand, and set a table before you. Precious time that is. I prepare the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Not only that, but he said, my cup runs over. Now, not only is my head with oil. This is the oil of joy. And that oil, it was so wonderful and precious. I believe we're told in the scriptures, he poured it up on the head of Aaron. And it ran down Aaron's beard. He had beard, and it ran down his beard, and it said, he went down to the skirts of his garment. And that's that oil of joy. And that's what I was trying to tell you a while ago, that when I woke up that morning with that, you understand, and felt that great love of God, you understand, it run down, you understand, to the skirts of this garment. I believe in that, but that it just covered him all over, you understand. And that's the way it is with us. When you can feel that great love of God, it just fills you, understand, well, you understand. I had all the joy, you understand, it runs all, you understand, and you're submerged in that great love of God. And so then, he said, he did it, and thou knowest my head the Lord. And he said, in my cup runs over. And let me tell you, that cup, the Lord Jesus Christ, that cup you have, it runs over sometimes. You feel so full, you understand, that you just run over. And you feel run over with love. Time would fail me to tell you all about this cup, and as much as I had a little preach on yesterday. And I wouldn't attempt to do this, but I'll tell you this. That cup, you read about here in the scriptures. There's a lot of things in that cup. And there's a mixture of things in that cup. I tell you, there's a mixture of joy in there, and a mixture of sorrow, a mixture of troubles, a mixture of trials, and a mixture of all these, that's all in that one cup, in that cup. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he drank, you understand, he drank the cup. And it was a bitter drink to him, you understand, but there's a joy there. And his people, you understand, they received the benefit, you understand, of him drinking that cup. Because of the shadow that he had to go through with, and all that we might eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, and that poor, I listen to the bitter cup, I will him to drink my friend, but yeah, David now, I just write this, let my cup run over, he needs to have joy now, and he lifted up high, as David said, and he lifted me up, and he cast me down, and so, man, that's how it appears in this way, we are lifted up, and be cast down at times. And then when he was lifted up higher, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a wonderful experience to have, isn't it? And then to see how often, sometimes you just get down and sink in despair sometimes, and make you feel that it's clinging on forever, and that his mercies will never return. It's just a repeated experience that you have as you go up and down in this life. And one other thing I want to mention to you, and some things keep coming to my mind, and that is, you remember that Jacob, when he went from his uncle, from his father's home and on down to his uncle Laban's home, if you remember, he was overtaken by the night. And when he was overtaken by the night, I believe the scripture said he took stones for a fellow. And notice that's in the plural now. He took stones for a fellow. And that night he saw a ladder. Then he said, reach from earth to heaven. And reach all the way from earth to heaven. And Jacob said, now, and they said, it's all the angels. And they were ascending and descending up on the ladder. And Jacob said, no, and the house of God, and the ladder gave to heaven. And let me tell you, my friend, what the ladder is. That ladder is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he said, over here, that's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And read over here, how the Lord Jesus was crucified. We remember he said to his disciples that you should see greater things than you see now. After I'm crucified, and when I arise from the dead, are you going to see the holy angels, which is the children of God? You're going to see them ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you know what that means? It means this, that when you lift it up with joy and you're going on up the ladder, if somebody's been up there and they're coming on down to the foot of their trouble. That's the way it is. And it's just that way all the time. And you're in Jesus Christ all the time. Because he said, John, can you and me, and I'm in the Father. And you're always in him. And so then, but you're going up and down in him. And sometimes you're down at the foot of the ladder, you understand? And that's the time you say, Lord, I'll have things going forever. That's how we got to be gracious. And we'll have the favor of the Lord. But whenever you're at the top of the ladder, you'll say, what Jacob said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is there an announcement to make brother? Next Saturday night, Elder Howard and Elder Sam will preach it to Robert. At Willow Springs, Saturday night. Brother Lamb, if it's not a place, I'll state that I published the preach at your church on next Sunday night. Is that right? The third Sunday night. That Contentment Church, your brother, he was in there, and I hope to come that time. And next Sunday morning, first Sunday morning, we have two deacons to ordain at and your church. Brother R.L. Fish and Brother Oprah Adcock. We invite you to come down and be with us. Service begin at 10 o'clock. And on the next fourth Sunday morning at 9:30, we put to be at Mount Zion in Benson to ordain Brother Whittington. And I hope to get back to Willow Springs in time for the service at that time. And we invite you all to come. These places will be with us at Willow Springs. We always enjoy having the presence. Anything more?